posture comes, worthy, worthy are you, Lord, worthy to be thanked and praised, worshipped on the door.
Turn in our Bibles this morning till 1 Peter 2:24 before we take our seats. 1 Peter 2:24, and I want to talk about who brings sickness and who brings health. And I know I've preached on these things before, but to be honest with you, every time I've been trying to go on to something different, God is, I believe, telling me you need to hear it again. Some people haven't actually heard it. Now, that sounds contradictory. But the Bible says, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. So I want to share it again. And even for myself, it's good to go again and share the word of God. We know these things, but we need to be reminded again. You know, I sent a dear brother a sermon I'd preached down at the brothers in the south.
Limerick.
John, that's it. Limerick. I preached a sermon in Limerick, and I know the Lord helped me. I preached on the paralysis of faith. That the devil will bind you, or else you'll bind the devil. And that man said he never heard a sermon like it. It was tremendous. But yet he done. That was it, to what that sermon was. He let the devil bind him. But the instructions was in that message that that wouldn't have happened. And there's a woman in that one of them services. She'd been beaten with her husband. She'd been badly abused. She shouted out in one of the previous meetings, and God delivered her, and she got saved. And And I tell you, God's real, but we have to obey the Word of God. We must obey the Word of God. Let's read this morning, and may the Lord help each one of us, and may keep his hand of mercy upon us. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Let's bow our heads again, and I know there's, if you want prayer, just lift your hand up before the Lord, and we're going to, please do keep praying for Brother George and also our sister Eileen, that the Lord will be merciful. And any others, praise God. God bless each one. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the precious gift of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless your name this morning. Lord, we have come into this house to uplift the name of Jesus Christ. And we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ fresh in our lives and over everyone in this house. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll bind the strong man and spoil his goods in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless and touch your people, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Give us absolute clarity of speech. And Lord, help us to hear the word of God, for we know there's power in your word. You sent your word and you healed them and delivered them. And Lord, your word is not void of power, it's real. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the same became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Heavenly Father, if we've sinned or done amiss, forgive us, cleanse us, wash us in your precious blood, fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Asking you for the hands that's raised, you know every single need, in every single situation. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll meet every need and meet every situation. Bless every nurse, every doctor. Have your way. Pray especially for George. Lord, that you'll give him a boldness, Lord Jesus, to stand up and to walk forward for you. Bind the enemy over his life in Jesus' name. Bless me on the island, I pray, Lord. Touch her in her body. Give her the miracle she needs in Jesus' precious name. And for others here this morning, any of us that need your touch, Lord, it's by your wounds, your stripes, we're healed. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God has a plan. Now, when you get a plan, you'll go to the planning office and you'll get a plan. And the first thing you do, if it's built in a house or a bungalow, you have to get outline planning permission first. Then you'll have to go and pay some man up all the money to build the house you want. He doesn't know what you want it. And then he'll tell you what you're allowed and what you're not allowed. You mightn't be allowed everything you want. But God counseled with no man. God counseled with no man. But God himself had a plan. Ever before anything was made or done, God had a plan. And God had a redemption plan. A plan to save. And God has a plan to heal as well as he has to save. And all that plan was fulfilled through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And I want to look at God's plan this morning. Now we know that by turning away from God and disobedience, man lost the blessing and the protection of God, and man come under the curse and the power of the devil. And in this way, the devil was able to bring upon man's body many, many forms of pains, weaknesses, and sicknesses. However, God, in his mercy, still desires to bless man, to save man, not only from sin, but also from sickness. For this reason, Christ on the cross not only bore our sins, but he also bore our sicknesses. Therefore, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can receive salvation and physical healing for our bodies. Soul salvation and physical body healing is provided for, is paid for, in the one-for-all atonement at the cross. Now, I'm sure most people here would know about it, but there was a very famous strong man passed away last week, Pat O'Dwyer. Now, you can't listen to any of his content online. I've tried to, but I've had to switch it off, because all he can do is blaspheme out of his mouth, cursing. And he'd YouTube and all, and he's the biggest cursor. He must be, but the biggest, uses a certain word more than anybody I've ever heard. 41 years of age, took a heart attack and died. I read a statistic this morning, bodybuilders especially, the percentage of them that died in 25 is lethal. Bodybuilders. Now that's not because they're lifting weights. It's because they're taking drugs. That's why. And every one of them was heart attacks, or related to the heart attacks. That's the devil robbing lives. But that man was on there, and all the strongman community was there. And the Stockmans, you've all heard of Stockmans, them big fellas from Scotland, all of them, they were all there. And the priest was there, and at work this week, there's a young man, he put it on, he let me hear a bit of the service while we were at work. And the priest was on, and he said he'd listened to a bit of Pat's YouTube stuff he was doing. And the people said, "Father, you need to be careful, the language on it." And that priest wouldn't say one thing about it. But I'm going to tell you now, he had no message. And not only had he no message, I never watched it. I watched a couple of minutes of it, and I went back to what I was doing. And if I hadn't been doing nothing, I wouldn't have watched it either, if it wasn't worth watching. Now I pray for Pat O'Dwyer's family, with all my heart, and all them people. But that priest re-offered Jesus Christ, and many so-called Protestants received him. But I am telling you here this morning, on the cross 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was offered one time. And the cross is potent. Now, if you don't know what that word means, if you ever get anything that is potent, you will not need very much of it, and it'll do the job. And one touch from the Lord is enough to do the job. Jesus Christ paid the price for our salvation and for our sickness on the cross. Who brings sickness? Who brings self? Who first deceived and tempted man? You'd have to go to Genesis 3. And if you read Genesis 3, verse 1 to 16, you will read who first tempted man and who first deceived man. It was the devil, and that devil possessed the serpent. And the serpent was the missing link today. Are you hearing me? You'll not hear this preached in any other denomination. They will not touch it with a barge pole. Their denomination wouldn't let them. But I'm telling you, it's the word of God. That the serpent stood upright. He could talk to Eve. He could communicate with Eve. And he was possessed by the devil. And he got to Eve before. The serpent got to Eve even before Adam got to Eve. And you know what happened. And you know that God came and put enmity between them, so that it could never happen again. And that's why today the scientists try to mix all sorts of animals with people and different things, and they cannot do it because God stopped it. But it happened. And you know, after it happened, when you read your Bible, you know you had giants in the land. And you had the sons of God, and you had the daughters of men. And they mixed, and God did not forgive it, he was not happy with it. They mingled. And the Bible says they were renowned men because of the exploits they did. And many of them had six fingers and six toes, these giants. Now, I'm not here this morning to preach about the giants. But if you're a Bible student, you cannot throw them out. They're there. And we know this morning, and let's be honest about it, in the 20th century, when God sent the spirit of Elijah back to the church through the ministry of his prophet, William Morion Branham, this was one of the secrets that came out on the very subject of Genesis. It's uncovered now. It's no longer a secret. The covers are off. And we know exactly what happened. And the serpent deceived man. And man fell. And man obeyed the serpent. Now 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this: "But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." I saw man on last night on an app, and his two sons were on with him. And this man used to be a great man. Our brother Simon would know him, or maybe have heard of him. I'm not going to mention his name. And his son made a statement before the multitudes, and they all went glory, hallelujah, and all that. Maybe he shouldn't have done it, but I told a whole lot of them they're false. And I gave them the scriptures why. And I couldn't resist it no longer. Let them have it, both barrels. You know what they said? That the Holy Spirit has left the earth and it's now in flesh in one man. Blasphemy. That the Pope's nothing on that boy. Do you understand that? The years that men have stood up and preached against the Pope of Rome because he's in the place of Jesus Christ. Yet there is a man amongst certain movements that's running scot-free, and he is as big an antichrist as the Pope is. And I'm calling him, he's antichrist. Because if any man claims for a place Jesus Christ, he thus exalts himself to the antichrist. Anti-word, antichrist. Deceivers. And people's hallelujah and that. Then here's the thing. If you have the Holy Spirit, the evidence is you can receive the truth. We know that's right. But how come people are receiving that? And that is false. Brothers and sisters, do not be deceived. The serpent, let me tell you this. Men change, spirits don't change. God don't change. And the same devil that was in Genesis is still alive today, still deceiving the day. Paul has warned us, a prophet in the end time warned us, that at the end time there would be false Christs. People that are anointed, but they are false. And there's a man claiming to be the anointed Christ. And they're all amen and hallelujah, but he's false. Absolutely false. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit, not only is the Holy Spirit with in his church, but you realize a statement that God, nobody could be even saved. Because the book of Corinthians says, by one Spirit are you baptized into one body. That does away with salvation. And that's worse than the Pope. I don't even get started on it, honestly. I'm not joking here. But it needs hit hard. Paul would have dealt with it, wouldn't he? 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Revelation 12:9. And that great, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he doesn't care what the title is over your door or your organization. He's still a deceiver. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there's only one thing we need. The blood mark.
Amen.
Well, I was thinking of when the prophet preached, when the cattle come through. And he says, brother, how do you know which one's which? And he says, brother, you don't know much about cattle, do you? But this other man had been working with cattle all his life. He says, you see, everyone's got a tag in their ear, a mark, a blood mark. And he knew by that mark which one were the pedigreed. And I want to tell you, there's a group of pedigreed Christians this morning that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're on their way to heaven. And they don't need a quote of some false prophet or Antichrist movement. They have the absolute, which is the Word of God. Amen. But isn't it terrible how people, they're making a thing that's right out like that? Isn't it unbelievable? Satan deceived man. That's who deceived man. Why did pain, sickness, and death come to man? We've showed you why. Because man was deceived, and the next thing man did, he disobeyed God. Man disobeyed God, and because he disobeyed God, he done the very thing he was told not to do. And how many times you can preach a sermon, you can show people the Word of God, whether it's on the Godhead, water baptism, I don't care, whatever subject that you know is absolutely the truth, and they will do the opposite. Because they don't want the truth. But the Bible says, ye shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And I tell you, we need to obey God's word. How many believe that? We need to obey God's word. And not just on what of things I've mentioned, but on the word of God. He gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. Who brought sickness in Job in the Old Testament? And I know Brother Brian's been doing a whole series in Job. I haven't got to listen it, but I'm sure it would be really good. In Job 2:7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. The devil, Satan, brought sickness in Job. But we have ministers in pulpit today that will try and tell us that God brings sickness on his children. But my Bible says that Job, that the devil brought sickness on Job, not God. Now God let it happen. God could have stopped it there and then. He let it happen to see what Job would do, didn't he? No, I don't think it's even right doctrinally, the way I've said it. Are you waking here this morning to see what Job would do? We say that, which is true, but God knew what he'd do. Amen. Ever before he wanted to see it. God didn't really need to see it, but God was going to show it to others. So that we today can look back at it and see what Job did do. But God knew what Job would do. God already knew. Who brought sickness on the woman in Luke 13? In Luke 13, this woman had sickness, and behold, there was a woman which had the spirit of infirmity, 18 years, who was bowed together and could no wise lift herself. Verse 12 of Luke 13. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He spoke the word over her. And when Jesus spoke the word over her, she was free. Spoken word is the original seed. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the rulers and the synagogues answered with indignation because of Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. They were not happy. It didn't suit their wee denominational thinking or their creeds. But the Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And if Jesus Christ is the same today, which Hebrews 13:8 says he is,
amen,
then he would have changed. If he's not willing to do it today, that means he's changed. But he's not changed. And we cannot preach a changed Jesus. And if we do preach a changed Jesus, we are false preachers. Yes. We must preach a Jesus that he's the same. And we cannot go by what we see here, there, yonder. We must look away to the Lord and believe the word of God. Satan, by the spirit of infirmity that she brought on the woman, who oppresses people with sickness. We know the devil does. God does not oppress people with sickness. Acts 10:38. Before I read Acts 10:38, I want you to know that there was a man in America, Alexander Davy. I know he made him an offer, but thought he was Elijah and all them things. I know that. But he did more than enough to outweigh all that in my eyes. More than enough. Not the truth, Brother Laurie. And I tell you what, God gave him the revelation on healing. And not only did God give Davy the revelation on healing, he started a school, a ministry. And every single person that he got in contact with that came, he was fit to send them out. And they healed people by the power of God. They even had their own city and everything. What do you think of that? And it's still in America today. I know the devil will jump on. And he done this and he done that. Doesn't interest me, I'm sorry. There was too much done of the real. Where the rest of it, I'll ignore it. That's right. I'll not be highlighting it. Because there's enough devils about to do it. So there's no point me highlighting a man of God's weaknesses or failures. Because it's not scriptural. The Bible said restore such an one. Don't be publishing it about. The devil will persecute the brethren his own self. And he doesn't need us so-called believers helping him. We don't need to give the devil a hand to kick somebody when they're down. We need to take the positive, not the negative, and try and lift them up. And if they've sinned, then get God to cleanse them and get them brought back again. Amen. That's the Bible. That is the Bible. Acts 2:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. What does God promise to do for his people who obey him? In Exodus 15:26, he says, none of these diseases will I bring upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians, if you'll obey me, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am your healer. I am the one that heals you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. If we live right and we obey God, God can and will heal us. And if we fall sick, we have so many applicant things in this Bible that we can use, calling the elders of the church, anointing with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick. But there's no point calling an elder if you're full on belief before he comes. And you're listening, somebody is telling you it's not for the day, you're wasting your time. Don't call nobody. You need to have faith and you need to believe. And many have never entered in because of unbelief. And God was cross with them because they staggered at the word of God. They staggered at the promise of God. They never entered in. They're full of unbelief. And how many people are close to getting saved, but they never do get saved? Unbelief conquers them and overcomes them. And a wee thing a few inches long called a fag defeats many. Or a wee glass of whiskey or some other dirt. It defeats them. It conquers them. And they never come. And the conviction's killed. Unbelief. Unbelief is sin. It's not what William Branham said real sin is. He said it's not smoking and drinking, them's the fruit of it. But he said it's unbelieving. Unbelieving is sin. We are to believe God. May God forgive us for our unbelief. May he give us belief. Amen. He put none of these diseases upon them, but he wanted to heal them. Now, there's two things God promises to do for his people that serve him in Exodus 23, 25. Two things. In Exodus 23, 25, you say, Brother Tom, you're preaching from the Old Testament. That's right. I'm running the line from Genesis to Revelations. I believe all of the Bible. Amen. And what I see in the old is magnified in the new. Amen. Amen? And it might be the shadow, but thank God there's something greater than the shadow, for Jesus himself came. Fulfilled, it's not right. But I'll tell you what, there's power in the Old Testament as well as the new. Do you believe that? Do you believe it's an inspired word of God? Yeah. Amen. And ye shall serve the Lord God, and he shall bless thy bread. Are you hearing me? And bless thy water, and will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Bless your bread, and it bless your water, and it take sickness away from your midst. That's of the Lord, what's promised to do. And I tell you many times, and my wife can tell you many times when we have had nothing, and we've had to pray, and God has blessed our bread. And I want to give the Lord all the glory this morning, that when we didn't have it, he provided it. And God might have used some people. By praise God. You know, it's great. That story my dad told, I'll never forget it. But the old boy, and he didn't believe in God. Now a hypocrite. And there's a wee neighbor he had, and she's a great wee woman of faith. And she was always testifying how the Lord would bless her. So he decided, she knew she was getting it tight, and he stood outside her window to hear her praying. And she prayed, Lord, I need a loaf of bread, and I need a bottle of milk, and I need butter. And she gave God the list. And that old atheist wrote it all out. Penned it all down and wrote it all out. And he went to the shop, Brother Larry, and bought the bread, the butter, and everything. And he brought it to their door, and he left it at her door, and rung the bell and ran away. And she opened the door, praise God. And she says, oh, thank you, Lord. You've done it. You've done it again. Glory. You've done it. Oh, my goodness. Here's the milk. Here's the bread. And the door was open. And that atheist stepped in. And he said, what are you all excited about? And she says, look at this. Look at the butter and the bread and the milk and all this stuff. God give it. He says, God never give it. I give it. He said, glory, praise God. That's double the miracle. That God would use an old hypocrite like you to provide my needs. Hallelujah. My Bible says God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty. I want to tell you that God rolled Moses in a bulrush right into Pharaoh's house in a basket, through the Nile, through all the crocodiles and everything, right into the camp of the enemy. Hallelujah. And when they sent out a decree that every child should be killed, and Jesus shouldn't even have lived, he should have been dead. But in a dream, they moved by the Spirit of God, and he was saved and brought before the camp of the enemy. Our God's greater than the devil. Greater than the devil. Oh, why don't you say it? He's greater than the devil. He made the devil. He's greater than the devil. I do cures today, miracles tomorrow. I'll cast out Satan by my finger. That's what God said. All that needs my wee finger to deal with the devil. That's how the big God we're working with this morning. Lord, if you'll just put forth a little finger. Amen. God can do it. Bless thy bread and bless thy water. Does sickness belong to God's people or their enemies? Deuteronomy 7:15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of the Egypt which thou knewest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee, unto their enemies. Pharaoh was told, Pharaoh was warned, but he hardened his neck, he stiffened his neck, and the last thing that he said came in his own house. The death angel passed through. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I tell you, there's a token today, brothers and sisters, The blood cell's been broken open on the cross of Calvary, Jesus' blood and the life. The very life of that blood is here, and it comes on the believers this morning. Hallelujah. It comes in you and me, and we can plead that blood on our loved ones. Not just a chemistry, but a life that quickens. If the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal body. Two things David said the Lord did for him in Psalms 103, verse 3. Two things. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I tell you, the Lord's forgiven all your iniquities, and the Lord will heal all your diseases. Brothers and sisters, we have to be honest with ourselves and with God. We know, and I'm quoting you from the Old Testament, but if these people could be healed under an old covenant, under an Old Testament, under a natural lamb that was sacrificed, how much more have we, as the people of God, can be healed under the ultimate lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, not just a type, but Jesus Christ himself, crucified on the cross, by whose wounds you're healed. I tell you, our God's able. There's three things in 3rd Epistle of John 1 and 2, what he wished, and I mentioned it Wednesday night. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul does prosper. Three things wished upon us: health, prosperity, and the prosperity of the soul wished upon us by the Lord, by the Lord's servant. Here's another thing. How many of God's promises can we claim? How many can we claim? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. What's Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 1, 19, 20. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 19, 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus, Timotheus, was not yea, and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. God can give you and fulfill any single promise of God. How many here this morning in this service? Be real. Now listen to me carefully. What I'm going to do for you. You see the front of this Bible. You see this verse. I didn't just get this cover just to have a cover. But this is a special verse. This verse was given to my father. He was away from God. He was praying for a young man that was facing jail, that was rebellious, that nobody could do anything for. And he himself was smoking a pipe. He wasn't even serving the Lord. He wasn't in a spiritual position doctrinally to seek God or anything. He wasn't serving God. But God on that one verse changed him. And God in that one verse changed me. And that was a promise that God gave him. And God fulfilled it before him. He fulfilled it in him. He fulfilled it in me. He answered the prayer. God done it. Hallelujah. Have you a verse? Has God given you a verse? I want to tell you, that verse was not just good when my dad got it them years ago. But I want you to know that that verse this morning is as much alive, it is as much real, it is as much powerful the word of God as when it was given. And if God's give you a verse, you have a verse that's as much real, that's as much alive this morning to you, because God's word's not dead. That's why this book's different than every other book. This is a living book, Brother Ewell. There's life in this book. There's vitality in it. There's power in it. It's backed by God. It's backed by all of heaven. There's power in this word of God. You do not know the times when I fell back in this verse. And I would have been swallowed up by my enemies. But God saved me. And God delivered me again. And Brother John prays it often. Save us again.
Oh, brother, many times the Lord. And it doesn't mean in the way of salvation, but as Christians, we're saved many times. The devil would have took you, they killed you, they wiped you out. But God spared you. God saved you. God told the enemy, stop right there. That's enough. You've done the big fella long enough. That's enough. And he just took his wee finger. That's all he needs. I tell you, our God's able. God is able. What purpose did Jesus Christ manifest to the world? For what purpose? 1 John 3 verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. Are you hearing me this morning? He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus, when we say that Jesus can't do it, we're denying this verse. We're saying this verse is wrong. We're saying it's written wrong. We're saying it's not correct. We cannot change it. We need preaching that helps us to understand it and believe it, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And if God's oppressing you, that's a work of the devil. I don't care what type of oppression it is, or what he's using, or who he's using, or what he's doing. It's the devil. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Destroy them. Not just break them. Destroy them. The Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. Not just break it. It says it destroys it. And I tell you, that's the Old Testament. And the New Testament says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But we have to believe him. We need to believe him. We need to believe God. For what purpose did God anoint Jesus with the Holy Ghost? Acts 10:38. Why did he anoint him with the Holy Spirit? He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. What did William Branham say? In the Old Testament, God above us. In the New Testament, God walking with us in the person of his Son. Now, after the Holy Spirit's been given, it's God with us. For the Holy Spirit is in his church. Do you realize the Holy Ghost is in the church? We're the church, the mystical body of Jesus Christ, born into it, baptized in it by one Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's in the true church. The true church. And there's power in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I want you to know there's power in the Holy Spirit. God can bring an anointing down and destroy every enemy, every yoke destroyed. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. May God help us as a fellowship ever to preach and believe in the Holy Ghost. May he help us to do good and to set free all that are oppressed of the devil. Whose will did Jesus come to do? Whose will did he come to do? John 5:30, I come of mine own self. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which is in heaven. What are you saying, Brother Tom? I'm telling you, it's God's will that Jesus done. So when Jesus says, I'm come to destroy the works of the devil, it was God's will that the works of the devil be destroyed. We need to stop cotton wool demons. We need to start kicking them and hitting them with the word of God. And we need to start praying violent prayers that grip the throne of heaven above. Prayers. Like our brother John prayed on Thursday night, that the devil might know us, that he might hear it. We know he's not deaf, but he might as well hear it. That Jesus came to destroy his works.
Hallelujah. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven. I tell you one thing. This is why Jesus is unique over any other man. Mark this in your Bible. Right beside it. This is why he is extraordinary. He came down from heaven. Hallelujah. He said before Moses was I am. Glory to God. Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Oh, thank God. Who worked the miracles in Christ? The Father did. God did. John 10:37-38. For I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I am him. God was in him, doing the works, doing the miracles. And I tell you that God that was in Jesus Christ, doing the works, doing the miracles. Jesus knew he was going to go. And he said, but the Comforter will come in my name. When you get over into the book of Acts, here's how you read. All that Jesus began has to be continued. All that he began to do must be continued. And it's continued by the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus Christ heal those that came to him? Matthew 8:16. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Cast the devils out. Now, some people might get offended at this, but there's nothing I can do about that. I know I have a tablet here that helps me when I preach and the throat doesn't dry up. But I want to tell you, the doctors have depression tablets, sleeping tablets. There's all sorts of tablets. But I want you to know this morning that when Jesus Christ came, he never gave nobody a sleeping tablet or a depression tablet. But people that were oppressed of the devil, he knew it was a demon power. And he cast that devil out. Amen. He didn't give it a tablet. And that's the truth. But there's so many people in this country and other countries, they're depending on the government. And they're going that way. I tell you, may God help us. That's why people say in Africa so many miracles happen in all these countries. Because in many places in Africa, they don't have a tablet. They can't afford a tablet. They're desperate for God. Wigglesworth said the time will come when a deliverance ministry is almost impossible because people are so depending upon the medical. And we thank God, we appreciate the medical. But you know, if somebody suffers depression and the medical gives them the depression tablet, it will not cure the depression. Let me tell you something this morning. I'm not up here to tell you I've never took a tablet, because I have. I hurt my back. One time I really hurt my back. Putting posts in. Doing something wasn't even heavy. And whatever way I moved, I hurt my back. Sharon had to dress me for weeks. Poor critter. Put my socks on and all. Couldn't move, no road. Colin's laughing. He said, she's still dressing you. Praise God. But just putting my socks on for weeks, I couldn't move. And I had a friend and he gave me these tablets and he says, Tom, these will help you. And I started taking these tablets and it was great. Slept like a baby. Then it got to be one day I was taking these tablets and started crying. And Brother Larry, I didn't know why I was crying. But I was crying. And it wasn't the Holy Ghost can make you cry. Now that's good crying. When the Holy Ghost comes in a meeting or the Word of God and you start crying, that's real good crying. That's eagle crying. But this here tablet crying wasn't eagle crying. This was tablet crying. And I looked these tablets up on the internet. And it said
They were for depression, and they could mix your emotions and do all sorts of stuff on you. And I tell you where they went, straight in the fire. Straight in the fire. And I come and get prayed for my back, and God touched me, and God healed me. And I give the tablets to fire. Because I didn't need to be sitting moping and groping all about poor Tommy. I needed to get a hold of the Lord and the things of God. But we have a society today that there's cures for things, but they'll never let it out because the medical is making millions on the tablets. Millions. And people so dependent on the tablet, they've no time for God. I tell you, it's a serious thing. Matthew 8:16, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. All. Now my time's gone. Matthew 12:15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew 14:35-36. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought him unto all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Luke 4:40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Luke 6:19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. You know what's wrong today with 90% of Christianity? They're trying to get people to some man. It's Jesus we need to get to. That's the man. We need to get to Jesus. And if we have an opportunity to visit somewhere, or preach somewhere, or pray somewhere, we are representatives of Jesus Christ. We're taking Jesus Christ as the Father sent me, so send I you. We're going in his name. We're not representing any movement or any lodge. We are representing the kingdom of God. And if we're representing the kingdom of God, there's kingdom authority and there's kingdom power with it. Yes. Jesus is all power in heaven's given unto me. King Jesus. All that came to them. When Jesus Christ did not heal, what was the reason? Mark 6:5-6. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. The Lord himself marveled. They were so full of unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Now, you might like this, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. The teaching ministry increased when the healing ministry wasn't just as good. Taught round. But when he was healing round, he wasn't teaching as much. Now you better get what I'm saying. We have come to the generation and it's all teach, 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 teach. Everybody's a teacher. Where's the evangelist gone? Where is the evangelist? Where is the man that went out like Jesus with the ministry to lay hands on the sick? They weren't teachers. They preached the word of God. They were able to teach, but that wasn't the main thing. The focus was to heal the sick, because Jesus' focus, 80% of his ministry, was on divine healing. 80%. And a prophet said that, and I believe it, because it backs the Bible. The Bible backs it. What have we have come to? And people will tell us, we're in a dispensation of teaching. Don't give me that, because I do not believe that. We've always had teaching. We're in the dispensation. We're in the last church age. And I tell you, if the church age is previous and the start of this church age needed miracle ministry, healing ministry, we need miracle and healing ministry in 26. We need it more than ever. May God help us. They were full of unbelief. Does God ever change? Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore your sons of Jacob are not consumed." Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. What about the purpose of Christ's death on the cross? And I'm closing. I know my time's gone, but I'm closing. Just give me a couple more minutes. Think of three things Christ bore in our place. Three things. And then I'm going to close. Matthew 8:17, "That he might be fulfilled was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and he bore our sickness." When you talk about the cross, when people talk about, there's groups and they say, "Oh, but they preach the cross." Do they? Do they preach the cross? This is part of it. If they claim they preach the cross, do they preach this? Do they preach what Isaiah the prophet said? He took our infirmities. He bare our sicknesses. You cannot preach the cross if you don't preach he heals. You haven't fully preached the cross. You preached what your denomination lets you preach. But you haven't preached the full counsel of God like the apostles preached. 1 Peter 2:24, "His own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes wounds you're healed." Our infirmities, our sicknesses, and our sins. That's preaching the cross. Amen. When you preach the cross, he bare our infirmities. He bare our sicknesses. He bare our sins. He doesn't just save us and forgive us. He can heal us. He's a healer this morning. I know I'm excited. And I knew I wouldn't get finished, but it doesn't matter. It's not important. Let's stand our feet this morning. Let us look to the Lord this morning. Jesus Christ came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. No, people can say, "Brother, you never went through it. You never went through it." I tell you, that's a lie of the devil. My Bible says Jesus was tempted in every point that we are. There's not one thing that me or you can go through or ever have went through, but the Lord knows every single thing about it. And he is our high priest who's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Now I tell you, I know about depression. I was that young man that was suicidal, that wanted to kill himself on several different occasions. The devil told me nobody loved me. Nobody cared for me. That was his message. His message is a message of defeat and despair. But I want you to know, in a jail cell locked away, where none of my friends was there, and my dad wasn't there, no minister was there. The only minister wouldn't even come and visit me anyhow. I met him. Told him when he come, and he never came. He thought I wasn't serious. But I want you to know, sometime in the night, somebody come in the cell. You never said, "Tommy, you're a real hypocrite. Tommy, you have done this, and Tommy, you have done that." He never once named any of that. The voice spoke audibly and said, "I love you and give myself for you." I want to tell you this morning in this meeting, the chains that held me broke when he spoke. They broke. I didn't need to do a fast. guest or a special meeting or a special person. None of it, because a special one had came. I want you to know this morning he's in this meeting. How do you know he's here? For two or three are gathered in his name. He's in the midst, and not to bless. God can bless you this morning. Let's close our eyes. I'm going to pray, and our brother Guy's going to come. We're going to worship the Lord. I want you to touch the Lord this morning. Now, you that have a loved one that needs God's touch, I want you now to stand in for them. Believe the Lord for them. If God could come to me, and I wasn't even serving, I was down deep in a way, how much more can God come to his own people that's serving him? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, forgive us our unbelief. Lord, we're so glad the first moment and the first encounter we had with you. Lord, it was special. Oh God, touch your people this morning, I pray. Lord, you know the needs different people have in this room. And Lord, we appreciate the nurses, the doctors, the medical. We appreciate all them things. But Lord, when they can't do no more, and they say there's nothing more they can do, Lord Jesus, we need you. Lord, will you touch that young man this morning? Touch that young woman. Standing in for someone, touch them, heal them, deliver them. Break the spirit of oppression and death and hell. Send it away, Lord. That's what you came to do. Bless your people, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ right now, let your presence go over everyone in this room. We know you're here, Lord. You're closer than the very breath we breathe. Lord, may your word move in every situation. And may your people be blessed. Bless the brother Guy as you come. Bless all your musicians, Lord Jesus. Lord, for all those that are sick this morning, Lord, I am asking you to visit them. I'm asking you to go to them and make them well. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen, amen. God bless you to the brother Gary Cobb.
Can we sing the hymn, Is There a Heart That Is Waiting, Longing for Pardon Today? Hear the glad message we bring you, Jesus is passing this way. Yeah.